to Arrow Podcast 117 on the Lollapalooza effect and how that applies to day game and street hustling and pickup and seduction and persuasion and la-di-da-di-da. Anyway, I am back in Poland. I've just come back from the north of Poland, the Mazurian Lake District, where I was relaxing, wasn't so hot. Back here in the middle, it is baking. And guys say, well, aren't those kind of conditions, very hot, very sunny, girls wearing nothing, aren't they the perfect day game conditions? You would think so, but the answer is no. No, no, no. The Euro day game season is spring and autumn, because in the high summer, when temperatures are 35 to 40, it's very hard to walk around for 2, 3, 4 hours, do 10 or 20 Ks. You're hot, you're red, you're sweaty. University's not here. All the younger, hotter girls, they are on holiday. They've gone back to the village they were born in, or they've gone to the coast, or they've gone to Thailand. They've just escaped Europe, and they are replaced by tourists. So I can't wait for September to come around. Again, university back in. Cooler temperatures and layers actually help. The male fashion, obviously I'm the king of fashion advice. Looking badass is a lot easier with layers, and when girls have layers on, stacking and vibing is a lot easier. That street improv, which is really at the heart of day game, watch my video on YouTube on street improv. That's a lot easier when girls have layers and hats and scarves and bags and etc, etc, etc. So bring it on. But for now, in Poland for a few days, then off to a mystery destination before the real back on the horse day game season begins again, when I shall be in Middle and Eastern Europe, up to Russia and the Baltics and down to the Balkans. I shall be going to Serbia, maybe some new Balkan countries, but that is all to come. I hope you are following my Below the Belt series every day, the Dirty 30 posts in August. We are exactly halfway today. Today's post shall be number 15. That's all on tomterrera.com. Little snippets, extracts, scaffolding for my new book, Below the Belt. All the filthy tales from the last few years in pickup. Today's topic, it's one which ties together a lot of seduction concepts, a lot of pickup concepts, because it's about persuasion, it's about compliance, and that's really where the game begins. I often say game begins where compliance ends. So talking about getting people to say yes is exactly the same in marketing and sales as it is in pickup. I've said many times why pickup is like sales and sales is like pickup. I often talk about persuasion techniques. Look at my video, for example, Torero Tomfoolery, number 16 in that video series called Mind Control. Or watch in my Street Hustle video series, watch one called The Mini Bounce. Or recently I did a video from Ukraine. The video is called False Choices. And all of those videos have in common me using classic persuasion principles and applying them to game. If you want hundreds more, if you want them all in one place, here's the only plug for today. Buy a copy of my hardback textbook, Street Hustle. And that has everything we're going to talk about today in it. Okay, so it's a lot clearer. It also has the 100 most commonly asked day game questions. All the questions that you might have if you're just starting out in day game, they're all answered in section 3. Anyway, enough of the plug. Lollapalooza effect, defined by Charlie Munger, the legendary American investor. He, as ever, read up on psychology. He read a few psychological textbooks and realized they seem to have missed out a core concept in compounding. Whereas if you take individual persuasion techniques, psychological techniques, okay, they're effective. But if you stack them on top of each other, when he says three or four of these things come together, good old dirty Charlie Munger, things coming together, three or four of them, that's obviously called compounding, and it has exponential, dramatic effects for people's cognitive bias, i.e. getting people to say yes, i.e. compliance, which is the aim of the game. So you're talking to a girl and she doesn't stop, so we're trying to improve that compliance. You're jumping in front of a girl and she listens to the beginning and then she runs away. So we're trying to improve that compliance. You're talking to a girl, she won't give you her number. We're trying to improve that compliance, etc., etc. From the day game to the texting, to the dating, to the seducing in your bedroom, and even holding the frame if you want to keep her around or if you want to combine her with other girls. All this stuff is compliance. Where compliance ends, as in she's so easy, she's a yes girl, game begins. I say in every fucking podcast, don't just look for the completely yes girls, that's fool's mate chess. That doesn't improve your skill as a salesman, as a persuader. And we've got to ask ourselves, therefore, what things can we combine? Because Charlie Munger says, yeah, combine persuasion tricks to get compliance, especially 3, 4 or more, to have this snowball effect, right? Because the word, I think, Lollapalooza is an old word, 19th, maybe 18th century. Very old. It just means a person or a thing that is particularly impressive or attractive. It's a shiny thing. People can't take their eyes off it. People follow the lead. People are impressed. People are amazed by it. So Charlie Munger is telling you and I how to become a super shiny day gamer, a super shiny seducer. Not that Munger is, but of course these principles are transferable. I like to think about it, first of all, as the Fibonacci sequence. Here's a bit of mental masturbation, okay, before we dive into the contact sport of real life infield pickup. But think about it like this, and I used to teach the Fibonacci sequence to kids because they find it fascinating. It's everywhere. It's one of those universal mathematical principles where the sequence goes 0, 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. It's the snowball effect of adding the previous two digits to get the next one. This kind of exponential crazy growth from small beginnings. And that's really what the Lollapalooza effect is. But that makes no sense talking about infield day game. So let us get more specific with Mr. Robert Cialdini, the man who's written the most influential books on persuasion. I've spoken about his principles of persuasion many times. They're in Street Hustle. But let's go through them now. And as I say them again, try to imagine how they apply to infield day game. Okay, so he says, if you want to persuade someone of anything, you follow these six key principles. The first one is authority. You're authoritative, okay? You have that frame, and I nag students all the time. Go in with more authority. You expect her to stop and she'll stop, okay? You hold the frame and she'll be submissive, etc. The second principle that we use in game all the time is scarcity. I nag you and say scarcity increases value. So use the vacuum, back off, get her to chase you, flip the script, etc. The next principle is likability. And pickup artists and day gamers forget this. They're trying to be the 2D alpha. They're forgetting that part of charisma and charm is not just power, but it's also warmth. Power is not enough, right? You have to show some empathy. You have to show some likability. So I say ground the set. Show that you're normal. Show that you get the elephant in the room. Show that you have calibration, yeah? The next one is commitment. This is classic day game, okay? So you get her to stop, then you get her to hold your hand when you introduce yourself, then you do the mini bounce, then you get her on an eye date, then you maybe get her Facebook, which switches to WhatsApp, then you get her on a date, then you get her to move next to you, then you get the kiss, then you get to bounce her to a park, and then to a bar, and then to your house, etc. Compliance snowball through these mini commitment moments. Lots of small yeses leading to a bigger yes, and finally to her screaming yes, yes, yes in many languages in your apartment. Yeah. Okay, next principle of Cialdini, which is slightly abstract in terms of game, is reciprocity. Okay, it's that classic thing of salespeople giving you a free sample and then you feeling like you have to reciprocate, because this is hardwired in evolution, in tribes. You reciprocate that kindness by doing something in return. Well, how does that apply to street pickup? Can you think about it? Yeah, the girl is your mirror, okay? So you're being open and positive and chatty and saying things like, wow, I really like positive, adventurous people. You know, you seem like a cool girl. I like it. You're not just hot. She mirrors that energy. She's nice back to you. You take her for an instant date. You buy her a coffee. She kind of feels deep down, okay, well, this guy's given me a little bit of something. He's not a provider, but, you know, he stopped me on the street. He said I look nice. He's being flirty. He's being fun. We're having coffee. So I'm going to stick around, and I am going to show up for that first date. There's a lot more loyalty from day game than there is from online dating and Tinder, you know? Tinder, as every guy who tries it says, girls will just ghost you, they'll just disappear, there's no loyalty, they don't respect you. It's probably anti-respect. It's like you going to a singles meetup. Yeah, you're telegraphing low sexual market value. If you're swiping on Tinder, she knows you have low sexual market value. Otherwise, why would you be doing it, yeah? Bieber's not on Tinder. A great pickup artist is out on the street. Pickup is a contact sport. The last principle of Cialdini is social proof. Now, night gamers find this a lot easier to trigger than day gamers because you're surrounded by your mates, you can use wing women, you can use wings effectively, you can merge sets in a club, you can do table hosting, you can set up parties, etc. So I've spoken in other podcasts about how a day gamer can use social proof, implied social proof. Yep, things like the photo stack, things like drive-by DHVs, using your wing in a two-set, merging dates. We'll come on to more practical examples of social proof at the end of this. Anyway, if you're fascinated by Cialdini's principles as I am, by now you should have read his book Influence. I shall link it below, both on iTunes and on YouTube. So those are Cialdini's principles. One is interesting, two is pretty cool, but if you get 3, 4, 5, or 6 of them working together, it is rocket fuel. It is cocaine for girls, okay? It is extremely shiny and desirable. That is the Lollapalooza effect. And you see it with famous people. Yeah, when all those things come together, the girl wants to be part of you coming together. She finds it incredibly attractive. Mystery had his own version of this in the Mystery Method. He links it to 5 attraction switches, he says. I've spoken about these before. I think Cialdini's are more specific and more practical in terms of game, but Mystery was on the same path. He was on the right path, linking evolutionary biology and sales and persuasion and marketing with human psychology and game. He said the first one is pre-selection. That's Mystery's first attraction switch. And I agree, that is Cialdini's social proof. So when a girl sees that you're pre-selected by other females, she thinks, okay, I don't need to make the value judgment thousands of other girls have of Mick Jagger, so therefore I just go along with it. He must be cool, okay? He must be sex worthy. He must have high sexual market value. It does a lot of the legwork for you. The next Mystery attraction switch is leader of men, which is Cialdini's authority. Yep, she sees that authority figure, the leader, the apex alpha, if you're a diving instructor, a ski instructor, a tour guide, the front man of a band. That's why the joke is obviously the bassist gets the slim pickings, but it's the front man, the leader of men, or the university professor. That's just an attraction switch, because obviously in a tribe, being a leader or one of the leaders, it's a shortcut to knowing that guy's sexual market value. The next Mystery attraction switch is protector of loved ones, which comes down to biological strength. Again, very tribal behavior. Cialdini, you could say that one would be likability. Because not only are you a pickup artist, but you show empathy. You show that you're not a monster. You're a monster that can be tamed. It's that Beauty and the Beast thing, yeah? The fourth Mystery attraction switch is a willingness to emote, which is what I'm doing right now. You're not just a 2D caricature alpha. You show that you have energy, that you have warmth, that you have charisma. You show that you can be daft. You show that you can be silly. You show that you have a freedom from outcome, not just the intent, pull, pull, pull. That lightness, that childlike, not childish, but childlike joy and wonder that I speak about all the time. Lots of pickup artists forget that one. Lots of pickup coaches forget that one. It's all too heavy, heavy, heavy. And they do everything else right, but they think, why isn't she coming along for the ride? Why doesn't she end up fucking me? It's because of that one. You're too heavy. You're too intense. You've got to occasionally open up with a story. Yeah, it's a carefully crafted DHV story, but it flicks some of these switches, okay? And the last Mystery attraction switch category is being a risk taker. Cialdini might call that one, you could say, authority, because a risk taker is someone who's clearly done it before and gotten away with it. That's what the girl's thinking subconsciously. If he takes all these risks, he's willing to do that in a tribal situation and nothing bad has happened before, vis-a-vis apex alpha, must be the alpha. Let's get his DNA. This is all basic evolutionary biology, okay? Now, how do those principles and those attraction switches apply to day game, and how can you compound them, as Charlie Munger would say? How can you create a Fibonacci sequence out of them? Yep, how can you make those things work in tandem to increase compliance? Because that's what we're talking about at the end of the day. And guys in the community often have a misunderstanding about this. They think, okay, I understand the Cialdini principles, I understand the mystery attraction switches, so therefore, Tom, I need to become the world's most interesting man. I need to be a Bond-like figure. I need to wear a tailored suit. I need to sit in a library smoking a pipe. I need to have all these stories ready. I certainly need a flash car and a flash watch. I need this pimp pad. I need to impress her. Because if I want a high quality girl and I want her to stick around, then I have to have all these attraction switches and all these principles in place. And they think of that perfect kind of Instagram guy, that Dan Bilzerian guy I've spoken about before, or Gianluca Vacci I've spoken about before, that kind of playboy provider-ish lifestyle that you see on Instagram. They think that is the pinnacle of game. That is the most interesting man in the world game. Now, there are many traps in what I've just said. Some of it is correct in that the clever Instagram boys like Bilzerian and Gianluca Vacci, they know about these attraction switches and they know about principles of persuasion, but there's a lot of provider game going on. There's a lot of snake seduction going on. It's very easy to forget that game is actually a way around this. Game is actually a hack where you don't need the car and the flash watch and the pimp pad. That's what I mean by hustling, yeah? Because you can flip those attraction switches, you can link all those principles of persuasion together without having to play this caricature of the world's most interesting man. In fact, you can be the anti-provider, as in a frat boy, as in a jock, as in somebody who's in debt, perhaps even in prison. We could say this is shockingly red pill, where a girl will still lust after you. And a good example of a frat boy or a jerk boy behavior, which is so attractive to women, would be Logan and Jake Paul. Perhaps you've heard of Logan and Jake Paul. You're thinking, fucking hell, Tom Torreira, what are you doing talking about two 20, 21 year old guys who are YouTube sensations? They came from Vine, you might remember that platform, and they moved on to YouTube when Vine shut down, and they are the fastest growing kids on YouTube. See, I'm down with the kids. They I think they've reached, or one of them has reached, 10 million subscribers in less than a year. So, you know, this is rocket growth. And if you watch their channel, if you read up on them, which I would advise you to do, or watch one of their vlogs, these guys are just kind of prank guys. They're loud, they're quote unquote stupid. There's not much substance to what they're doing. They're selling merchandise. That's the aim of the game. But look at the growth, look at the interest, and in particular, look at the way they interact with the girls in their videos, the assistants that they hire, look at their fan base and think, how are they growing so fast? Why are they so attractive? And surprise, surprise, they're using Lollapalooza, extremely shiny, and they get it. They may play the stupid character, they may act stupid, but for 20, 21-year-old kids, they fucking understand principles of persuasion and sales, right? They get mysteries, attraction, switches, and they show you that you don't need to be this pipe-smoking, tweed jacket, most interesting man in the world provider. They show you how to be a jock, or how to play the character of a jock, which is what part 7, I think it's part 7 of my Below the Belt series, talks about. How to imitate, how to replicate, and then how to become a jerk boy in your game. Right? How to take all the good things that those two brothers are using on YouTube and how to apply that to your game. You can apply one or two bits of it, okay, but if you apply 3, 4, 5, or 6 bits of it, you get this snowball effect, this Lollapalooza effect. And they're also a good example of why charisma is not just about power. All right, they do talk about fitness, they do pump iron, but that's not enough. Okay, you can't just be the gym guy, the meathead. There's got to be warmth, and their videos are extremely silly. I think they're quite funny, some of them. Their videos are incredibly engaging because of their fast edits, this new editing style that's emerging on YouTube, which has come from things like Snapchat and Vine, where you have to capture people's attention. It's got to be captivating. Their little skits strung together. The way they sell things is very clever because there's a warmth. There's an elephant in the room, kind of, I know that you know that I know. They break the fourth wall. There's lots of in-jokes. You've got to watch an episode. I'd go with Logan Paul, actually. I think he's the clever of the two. His brother Jake, whilst being more of a frat boy, I don't think he understands the principles as much as Logan. Behind Logan's comedy mask, there is Charlie Munger. Okay, or a future Charlie Munger. He's already loaded, and look at the techniques. You might not like him, you might absolutely hate him. And this is a crucial thing to bring out in you. Because I've spoken about those brothers and their videos to various guys, and the guys with high IQs, the intellectual guys, the guys who think, well, why would women like this? This is terrible. They have no money. They live in a trashy house. I can't believe this. They are revealing weaknesses in their own game. Because they're thinking you can get girls with IQ. They're thinking you need all this providery stuff. They're thinking you need to be the world's greatest storyteller. They're thinking you can't get high quality girls. They would never go for these silly boys. They're revealing purity fantasy, the Madonna whore complex, everything I talk about. The mistake of thinking that high quality girls only go for Ferraris or great thinkers or high IQ. It's completely deluded. It completely misunderstands human psychology and what really turns girls on. But anyway, for the last 10 minutes, let's get back to rubber meets the road, practical infield day game pickup, because that's what you're listening to these podcasts for. Hopefully, it's not just all mental masturbation. How can you start flicking these switches, right? Well, first of all, you've got your day game, which is going out there and you're showing your authority, you know about commitment, and you know about being likable, and you know about flipping the script for scarcity and all that good stuff. And behind your day game, you're working on your Facebook. Okay, you understand Facebook is just branding. You understand Instagram is just branding. You've seen my YouTube video on the photo stack, so you understand about how certain photos flip these switches. You understand about DHVs. So you arrange your Facebook or your Instagram, or maybe you have a special one for day game, very, very carefully. And now you're using Snapchat as well, perhaps. So you get it. Like Logan Paul and Jake Paul, you get it. That side of things, okay? Because girls are going to be checking that stuff out. And you can use it on dates, the photo stack I've spoken about. You can try merging dates. So, yep, you do your day game. Yep, you do your number collecting. And then you bring girls together. They come together for an event. I used to do it. As I said, I used to use day game as a funnel for organizing parties, which led to table hosting. You might try it just as a social. You might just go bowling with girls. You might invite them all to the same place. And you know that that's going to flick the social proof switches, the pre-selection. You're going to let all that kick in. And I've made podcasts on that. Yep. You're going to flirt with everybody in front of the girl that you're on an instant date or a date with. She's going to see this social proof. She's going to see this lightness and likability. You're not intense on the instant date or the date. You are flirting with a barman, with a bar woman. You are merging people in, okay? If you get cock blocked on the street, you bring that person in, you bring that beggar in. You bring her angry sister in. You know mystery method. You disarm the obstacle. You talk to the other girl in the set. I've got an infield video on YouTube from Kazakhstan, me talking to two girls, how to gain the one you like by talking to the other one. It's classic mystery method, yeah? Flirt with everyone. Keep it light. Imply there are other girls in your life. Again, this is counterintuitive. The nice guy thinks, well, I need to get rid of all evidence in my apartment or in my life or on my Facebook of other girls. No, no, no. Girls get angry with it, but they love it. So leave stray hairs on the pillow or on the floor or in the bathroom. let her know that other girls have been over, because there's two wine glasses in the sink, yeah, half full. There's girls on your Facebook or on your Instagram. You're not making out with them. It's not cheesy. It's not try hard. It's not got the hover hand in a nightclub. Not those kind of photos. But she can see you're pre-selected. There are women in your life of beauty. This makes her want you more without you doing anything. God bless the Lollapalooza effect, yeah? And another thing which I shall make a video about, I think, this week, is using an app. A student showed me this. An app on your phone, which is a fake call app. The one that I've got at the moment is called Knock to Call. And this is great for A, getting out of jail for free, if you're on a boring date, if you want to end a date, if you want to go to another date. You do something on your phone, which I shall explain in a video which I shall make, and your phone rings. And when your phone rings, you've got a picture of a hot girl, you can change your name, you can change the picture, you can have sound effects in the background, so you can use it to blatantly DHV. Day game is difficult to have this pre-selection on the street or on an instant date, I know, because it's just you and the girl, it's one-on-one, but with this app, it takes it to a whole new level. And I saw a student doing it on a residential at the end of last year, and I've tried it once or twice on dates, and I'm having success with it. So combine more than just your day game. You don't need to just be that one trick pony day gamer who only jumps in front of girls on the street and hopes to find yes girls. Whilst that's good in the beginning, you're using the London day game model, you're using it as training wheels, you're using it as scaffolding, the more day game you do, you realize, okay, I can start to freestyle, I can go indoors, I can use other things, other tricks up my sleeve. And no, that doesn't mean being a provider or snake seduction. It means understanding principles of human psychology. Okay, because it's all very well and good to understand day game and just do that. But if you don't get Charlie Munger, if you don't get the Lollapalooza effect, if you still don't understand how Cialdini applies to day game, then you're gonna hit a plateau. You're never gonna really understand hustling in its truest form. That's why I called it street hustle. Because the hustle is as old as time, okay? And it has to be understood. For you to master this thing, it has to be understood. And hopefully it leads on to a life that you think is fucking cool anyway. There's elements of fake it till you make it, of course, with all this DHV stuff. But the aim of the game is that by the time you're 30, 35, I would say, and we shall talk about the difference between life in your 20s as a guy and life in your 30s as a guy. By the time you're 30, 35, you need to have your life pretty much sorted. And you need to be living the kind of life you thought was fucking cool when you were a kid. So when I was a kid, I wanted to be Indiana Jones. I wanted to be James Bond. I wanted to be a magician. I wanted to be a spy. I wanted to travel. I never really cared about flashy stuff, cars and watches and penthouses and all that stuff. I just wanted to live that outlaw nomadic life. And in my 20s, I wasn't, because I had the 9-to-5 school teacher job. I had debt. I was shit with women for most of my 20s. And then day game was the catalyst. Girls were the carrot on the stick to me changing so many things. And when I flick through my Instagram, there's another plug. Look at my Instagram, it's on my tomterrero.com site. When I flick through old photos, I think, fucking hell, that's cool. That is actually cool. I've done stuff which I would be proud of as a kid. All right, and we're not talking about provider game. We're just talking about that life where eventually girls feel it, girls sense it. Girls look at your Instagram and your Facebook and they understand, okay, this guy is not the pipe-smoking, tweed jacket, most interesting man in the world kind of caricature, but he actually lives a fucking cool life. And in that cool life, those Cialdini principles are displayed, the mystery attraction switches are flipped. And what do? Absolutely nothing. I just approach her, I do my normal day game, and the lifting has been done for me. The heavy lifting has been done for me. That Lollapalooza effect kicks in without me even trying. So it's a lot easier now than table hosting or having to do complex snake seduction schemes or having to merge loads and loads of sets with wings in a nightclub. Eventually your life takes on the form of the Lollapalooza effect and all the work is done for you. I hope that makes sense. When I was writing it down, it made sense in my head. But if this has just been an encouragement for you to read Cialdini, to look back at the mystery method, or to think about wider things in your day game, then my job is done for this week. All right, it's too sunny to be indoors. I am going out. I am hustling before I fly on from Poland, so I shall say do widzenia. Goodbye, and I'll speak to you next week. Ta-da.
I know I've been no one. You know I've been so gone. Been missing your phone calls. But I really didn't mean to. You are one of a kind.